Hello and welcome to the Bureau Podcast. I'm Matt Cowan, the Bureau Chief and your host. Thank you for joining me today. In this episode, we're celebrating our first 10 Bureau Bites, our new Pod Bite series in which we interview a whole bunch of interesting people with a connection to Vietnam. In the first part of this episode, we're going to revisit the first five of those stories, which delve into the impact COVID-19 is having on travel and hospitality in Vietnam. Along for the ride as usual, but this time from a very safe distance.
From across the table.
Is the Bureau's content manager, Melanie Casull. How are you, Mel?
Hi, I'm good. How have you been?
Yeah, I'm good. How have you been spending your lockdown sessions?
Well, actually, it's been quite hectic working from home. You know, I find needs more discipline. There's so many things that distract you, like dirty laundry, dirty dishes. And, you know, the last few days, I've just gotten around to following a routine to make my online teaching schedule more structured.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, and you, what have you been doing?
Well, I've been eating a lot, actually. Ooh. Probably nothing new. if this thing goes on for years, I reckon I'll survive on deliveries, Mel. But there's always a downside, isn't there?
Yeah.
I'm fading away to the size of a house with all this great food, like Indian from Bubba's and deliveries from Harold from the Ox, not only Ox, who incidentally personally delivered it,
wow.
By the way.
And Master Chef.
Yep. I know, I felt pretty special. And Peter from Anang, Saigon, of course.
Ooh,
and
the Raven.
The Raven, yes. The Raven landed just the other day with a care package. And Alban from Koh Kot so far.
Ooh, ooh la la.
There's no way I'm going to knock those deliveries back. Keep them coming, guys. In the meantime, I've started a new fitness regime, Mel.
Really?
Yeah. As you know, I swim a lot, but I can't do that right now with what's going on. So I decided this week that I'd start climbing the stairs of our apartment block.
Ah, so that's where you've been going.
Yeah, partly. Now, our tower is about 17 floors. Not too much of a stretch, really.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it twice in one session on April 1st.
Wow.
That was the first day of the new Vietnamese government lockdown directive to stay home for the next 15 days.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I can report that I did it on that first day, but I've barely been able to walk since. It's now 3 days since then.
Our insurance is paid up, right?
I need to check that.
Okay.
I'm thinking about getting a massage delivery, but I'm not sure if that can be organized at this time unless you're going to do it, Mel.
You know what? Physical activities are good. Yep. But, you know, I think mental health checks are even more essential these days. So I've been seeing a lot of social media challenges, you know, things like uploading a photo of yourself without makeup, tagging your best Judy's, you know.
Yep.
And these are really great. Things like dropping specific colored heart emojis just to check in on your friend's, mental well-being. And I want to give a special social shout out to @KreaFormula.
Okay.
In the Philippines for their 15-day Thrive for Each Other challenge. And they have daily reflections and yoga practice for everyone to follow.
Nice.
Yeah, but unfortunately, I haven't been religiously doing it. But, you know, I think as with every challenge, you know, you can always go back to it and do it when you are emotionally and physically ready.
Why am I not surprised? I've noticed you haven't been doing much religiously at all.
Well, you know, I've been meaning also to check out those online church things that they have going on.
Oh, yeah.
It should be fun. Want to wear your Sunday best and join me for a service tomorrow?
I think I've got a delivery. I'll let you know. Okay, so we've got a big show today, so we'd better get into it. As our listeners would know, we've been doing smaller pod bites called Bureau Bites over the past couple of weeks, and we've hit 10 episodes already.
Yay!
Yeah.
You know, it's really a testament to real-time and agile content marketing, and I'm pretty proud of what we've achieved here in our living room.
Yeah,
you know?
So I thought we might revisit those stories, and for some fun, we've also put together a little playlist to go with it.
Yeah.
We're both from the days of AM radio, Mel, the good old days.
Oh, wait, no.
What's that?
That's Morse code.
Yeah. So I thought it might be nice for us to at least have a crack at trying to do this episode a bit like a radio show.
Yeah.
Of course, you have some history with radio back in the day. This should be a breeze for you.
Yeah, actually, I was an FM radio newsreader back in the day. That was actually my first part-time job. Didn't listen much to AM, actually, because, you know, in the Philippines, AM was dedicated mostly to news and talk radio and dramas during siesta. And, you know, as a young kid, I wasn't really interested in that.
Well, as you know, I grew up in a rural town in Australia and I don't think we had FM until I was at least 15 years old.
Oh.
So you're telling me Manila had FM before me?
Of course.
I feel robbed, man.
Yeah.
Okay, right. Righto.
Well, you know, I'm a city girl, so we grew up with FM, but most of the time it was by listening to what my dad listened to because, you know, he was in charge of what was, you know, music being played in the car.
Well, when of course, driver privilege.
Sure.
Yeah.
And we were listening to RJFM.
Nice.
You know, playing a lot of oldies but goodies. So I grew up with, you know, music that is like from a previous generation.
Yep. So, of course, the big news from the past few weeks was the Buddha Bar incident over there in District 2.
Mm.
It's almost become one of those moments in time during an event where people ask, where were you when that happened?
Sleeping.
Where were you at the time, Mel?
In bed.
Okay. All right. Just checking. For any listeners who don't know what we're talking about, in short, no, not in shorts, although he may have been, boom, boom, a British pilot went and partied a little bit at this popular watering hole called Buddha Bar in District 2 for two nights,
wow.
I might add. And then subsequently it was found he had the Miley Cyrus. Now, as I mentioned, he was a pilot and I'd imagine the airline he works for is disappointed in his lack of professionalism. After all, they are regarded for their certain level of professionalism, Mel. I've managed to obtain some cockpit audio from one of his recent flights. Listen to this.
Enter, you are cleared for takeoff.
Roger.
Huh? LA departure frequency 123.9.
Roger.
Huh?
Request vector. Over.
What?
Flight 209er clear for vector 324.
We have clearance, Clarence.
Roger, Roger. What's our vector, Victor?
So we've got a song dedicated to him in the meantime. We hope he comes down from the clouds, so to speak. Who knows, perhaps he'll be a bit more grounded from now on. In any case, we're having a little bit of fun with it, but in all seriousness, we hope the people concerned with the whole affair are back up on their feet again soon.
And for you guys, this is Bon Jovi with their hit song Blaze of Glory, which reached number one on the Billboard Hot 100 in 1990.
Wake up in the morning and I'll raise my weary head. I've got an old coat for a pillow and the earth was last night's bed. I don't know where I'm going, only God knows where I've been. I'm a devil on the run, a six-gun lover, a gamble in the wind. To steal or have to win. Well, they tell me that I'm wanted. Yeah, I'm a wanted man. I'm a goat in your stable. I'm what Cain was to Abel. Mister, catch me if you can.
That was Bon Jovi singing Blaze of Glory from the movie soundtrack, Young Guns.
Nice. And if you like that song, we have a few more coming up for you as we continue with the Bureau Bites Top 10 Countdown. First up, we have Bureau Bites number one with Chris Thompson. Chris is editor-at-large for Harper's Bazaar magazine Vietnam. And on March 16, he shared with us some of his thoughts on the impact of the closure of bars and entertainment venues in Saigon. Here he is.
But Matt, I think one of the trends that we're going to see accelerated around this time is that trend around home delivery. And we're probably going to see almost every restaurant now offering a home delivery option. You know, you've probably noticed in the last couple of days, outlets like Godmother Bacon Brunch have now announced that they're going to be offering that home delivery service. And without wanting to sort of offer some breaking news, a friend of ours down at Annan, I think, is even looking to be rolling that out later on this week. So I really think we're going to see more home delivery. And I also feel that as part of that, if some of these, you know, really successful restaurants are going to go down the line of home delivery, they're probably going to look to put their own stamp on that. And we might see some innovation around that. We might see something a little bit more interesting around the packaging, around the social media, around how they communicate with their customers. So I think home delivery in the next few weeks is going to be something which really rises in prominence.
And that was Chris Thompson giving us his crystal ball prediction with home delivery as his top trend to look out for.
Wow. And, you know, you've been riding that trend with your hashtag lockdown deliveries series on Facebook, haven't you?
Yep.
What have you seen so far?
Well, I've seen gourmet offerings, not just fast food, alcoholic drink deliveries, personalized messages, amazing packages with restaurants doing their best to limit the amount of plastic. I've been really impressed with that.
Well, listening again to Chris and his soothing, gentle voice.
Get out of it.
You know, I am a bit wary of one of his predictions of seeing greater customer engagement, you know, with customers on social media and the like.
What do you mean about that?
Well, it's a human thing, right? You know, you give someone an inch, they'll take a mile. So I expect these establishments are going to have to field a lot of questions on social media and, you know, demands that at this time may be too much for them to handle. Like maybe, you know, people asking for payment using credit cards, customization, and, you know, more sustainable packaging, creating vegan options, you know, all those kinds of requests.
Well, perhaps if there were a silver lining to any of this, it's that it nudges outlets into providing better customer service and a better delivery experience. It'll be an interesting space to watch for sure.
Yeah, well, on that note, deliveries are hot topic right now, and that means if you're practicing social distancing, you don't need to stand so close to me.
Young teacher, the subject of schoolgirl fantasy. She wants him so badly, knows what she wants to be. Inside her, there's longing. This girl's an open page, bookmarking. She's so close now. This girl is half his age. Yeah.
that was Don't Stand So Close to Me by The Police, a hit song from September 1980 that is making a comeback with a bullet, especially in this time of social distancing and online teaching, which, if you were a parent of a young teenage girl, could be a very welcome thing, if you know what I mean.
Righto. Well, in our second Bureau Bite, we spoke to Lynn Lair, principal founder of Luxperia, an inbound travel company tailoring boutique travel experiences throughout Asia. Lynn shared with us some quite grim facts about travel amid the current crisis, but also how the tourism industry can bounce back by supporting each other and supporting local businesses. At that time, we reported the announcement of temporary changes to the entry and exit of foreigners in Vietnam, as well as the suspension of visas on arrival. And we reported on estimates that Vietnam's tourism industry will be decimated to the tune of $7 billion in the first quarter of 2020, affecting tour guides, hotels, resorts, airlines, and with further restrictions. It was noticeably becoming an economic crisis as well as a health crisis. Flash forward to now, overall, Vietnam's economic growth rate is still expected to decrease significantly in 2020 due to the impact of the COVID-19 epidemic. But on the upside, Vietnam's growth remains among the highest in the region, according to a report published by the Asian Development Bank on the 3rd of April.
And since then, new guidelines on extension of foreigners' temporary residence due to COVID-19 was updated last 1st April, providing temporary residence to foreigners in Vietnam who are unable to exit for maximum 30 days while awaiting departure.
Right. Well, here's hoping that the situation stabilizes, the economy bounces back soon, and stranded tourists find their way home.
And to all of you, here's a song from the Steve Miller Band, Jet Airliner. Was the song Jet Airliner, popularized by the Steve Miller Band way back in 1977 from a Paul Penna original circa 1973.
Well, back on March 18 in our third Bureau Bite, we got on the line to Stanley Boots, co-founder of Seven Bridges Brewing Company in Da Nang. At the time, Stanley with his family and his 45 staff were under house quarantine after two British tourists had, from what it appears, gone on a bender in the central Vietnam beachside city. And during their little sojourn to just about every establishment in town, visited Seven Bridges. Subsequently, it was found the two Brits were carrying COVID-19, leading to the closure of their tap room for a couple of weeks. But as Stanley mentions in the bite, it turned out to be the perfect storm of a weekend, because a twist to the story was about to unfold. It just happened that the USS Theodore Roosevelt had docked in Da Nang with 5,000 thirsty sailors on board, keen for some action and to stretch their sea legs, Mel.
Wow. Well, of course, if you're visiting Da Nang, why not visit Seven Bridges? It's got an amazing lineup of craft beers and an awesome view.
Yep. Been there a bunch of times. Mm. Fantastic place. Now, it's believed that the ship's captain addressed a couple of his men privately before the randy seamen set foot ashore, giving them a warning. And it just so happens that we've been able to get our hands on a small part of that conversation. Here it is.
But you remember one thing. You screw up just this much, you'll be flying a cargo plane full of rubber dog shit out of Hong Kong.
Yes, sir.
That is all. You can tell me about the mix some other time.
Gentlemen.
Good luck, gentlemen.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Well, how about that, hey? You heard it first on the Bureau. We get our hands on all that sort of stuff.
Requesting flyby. Requesting flyby.
Negative.
Negative.
Negative, Ghostwriter. Now, we can now assume that those two pilots are being commissioned to fly that rubber dog shit out of Hong Kong once the pandemic is over, because pretty soon after they came ashore, my sources tell me the virus started making its way around town, spreading from, let's just say, some of the less salubrious venues in town. Anyway, back to Seven Bridges and Stanley. He reported that he and his staff were using the time under house quarantine to revise their strategy for the business, and that they were even working on new products like a range of hand sanitizers, somehow made with some of the ingredients from the beer brewing process.
Wow, that's interesting.
And I should add that no one at Seven Bridges returned a positive test. So some good news there.
Yeah, that's great. And, you know, since that happened, the latest news as of 1st April is that the Vietnamese government has now put in place tighter restrictions on social distancing in Vietnam to help contain the spread of COVID-19. This is not a city or country lockdown, rather further urgency for people to look after themselves and socially distance from others to minimize risk. This also includes restrictions on traveling from cities into provinces. And if you find yourself stuck at home with cabin fever, whinging too much.
Are you looking at me? Is this directed at me?
Okay. No, not really. But anyway, like okay, guys, use your time wisely. Innovate and create something useful like the guys at Seven Bridges, yep. Hey? And remember, you are still in a better position than the hardworking Navy men and cruise ship hospitality workers who are stuck out at sea, you know? And to them, we dedicate this next song on our playlist. The theme from the hit TV show, The Love Boat, sung by 1970s crooner Jack Jones.
Love, exciting and new. Come aboard, we're expecting you. Back to you.
The Love Boat brings back a lot of memories.
Show,
yeah, right? Amazing.
So when was that? 1970?
Well,
we were alive then.
Yeah, I think it ran from the 70s to the 80s.
Okay.
Yeah, but you know, we got the delayed show.
Yep.
Yeah.
I love Captain Steubing. I think everyone wanted to be him, but what about you? Who would you have liked to be?
I liked his daughter because she was the cruise entertainment director. Yep. And, you know,
I could imagine you doing that.
Creating like fun games on the deck.
I think you've still got hopes and dreams of doing that, right? Although the whole cruise ship thing at the moment is not great.
I know. And I can't really swim, so I don't think that'll be an appropriate job for me.
Okay, cool. So for our fourth Bureau Buyer, we spoke to hospitality insider Richie Fawcett from the Studio Saigon soon after the now infamous Buddha Bar fiasco transpired. Here's what he said when we asked him his thoughts on the situation and also about what innovations he thought might come out of the pandemic. He also included what cocktail he'd recommend that best sums up life as we now know it.
Yeah, well, it's happening now. I mean, it's real. It's happening now. The reality is the the longer the ban, obviously, it's going to be an issue of cash flow. So obviously rent overhead. So you've got staff that needs to be paid. You know, all these huge financial burdens are, let's just say, they're absorbed by bigger groups. The individual operators are the ones that are more vulnerable in this kind of situation. You know, groups with the deeper pockets than the individual operators will fare the storm, I believe. Sadly, the independent and interesting operations perhaps will be forced to close and maybe permanently. The bigger groups are going to be seeing this as an opportunity, I think, once the storm blows over, and it will blow over, to secure the new sites that have become available due to the forced closures of small operators occupying these good sites they've probably been having their eye on for a while. Unfortunately, the bars are going to stay closed for a while, but that's going to lead to innovations, which is perhaps, you know, let's just say, you know, the mother of necessities is born from extreme situations. So there is a silver lining. Unfortunately, it's a very dark cloud on it.
Well, that was the Bartist Richie Fawcett. What I liked about what he had to say was that, yes, the bar shouldn't have been open, but hey, it happened. Let's just learn from it and move on.
Yeah, I agree.
But he also raised some other very interesting points, like issues of cash flow, rent, overheads, financial burdens, and that individual operators will suffer while the bigger ones with deeper mm-hmm. pockets will weather the storm.
Yeah, actually, I was doing the grocery run the other day, and inside the mall, obviously, all the other restaurants were closed, but the only two operators, aside from the grocery store, was open was the Macca's the Starbucks.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. It's a good example. Mm-hmm. And something else very intriguing he said was that bigger groups will have the opportunity to move in on smaller individual operations that they've had their eye on for quite some time. But ultimately, he said all of this will lead to innovation, and that the mother of necessity is born from times like this, and that the hospitality world is very innovative anyway.
Yeah, well, you know, as always, many interesting insights from the Bartist, but I'm not too sure about a few of them, though, like cocktail deliveries a la DIY, you know, do it yourself. Yep. I mean, nothing beats the experience you have in a bar, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, I've seen those liquor brand ambassadors, a couple of bartenders and social media influencers, you know, doing their own cocktail happy hour, how to make this particular cocktail, you know, and they do it live on social media. But I'm thinking, I hope they don't reveal too many bar top secrets. And then, you know, that would make the customers continue staying at home and having their own DIY parties well into COVID recovery, you know?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
interesting point.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm a bit contradicting myself there, but we'll just have to wait and see. So in the meantime, I'm sure that I'm not the only one missing the nightlife in Saigon. So here's a song for all of us indoors to shake and stir our cocktail glasses too. The Cars with Let's Go. Let's Go from The Cars' 1979 album, Candy O. which reached number 14 on the US charts.
Love that song. Great stuff. Great choice. Well, in our final recap for this episode, we spoke to PR Newswire Vietnam's Megan Lee on the topic of why untruths go viral online. After it was reported that dolphins had reappeared in Venice's clearing canals and that fish were also now visible in their waters.
Wow. Oh.
There was even a report of elephants somewhere in China sauntering into a village and proceeding to get drunk on fermented corn and passing out on the spot. But a Nat Geo follow-up article reported that these stories weren't true.
Oh, wow.
Megan told us that untruths go viral quickly for a number of reasons, including that, quite simply, it's a big wide world out there on the World Wide Web, and that now everyone can have a platform to spread fake news and untruths, unlike what we're doing here at the Bureau, Mel.
Yeah, well, you know, I think in the past month we have been creating a lot of fact-based content. So I'm fairly confident that we are a responsible media bureau, pun intended.
Okay. Well, Megan also said the bad news tends to travel faster and hence rumor and innuendo grabs a foothold easily, like the gossip about patient number 17, Miss Nhung, who returned to Vietnam from Milan and London and failed to report her symptoms. Untruths were spread about her online. Rumors circulated that she had attended nightclubs and bars in Hanoi upon her return.
Oh, and a fashion opening.
Yeah, that's right.
Fashion store opening. Okay. Yeah.
Those stories turned out to be untrue. So the government then acted and fined and shut down the social media accounts that were sources of this fake news. Mm. Amid all the fake news and lies, Megan told us there were indeed plenty of positive true stories playing out, including the work done by IT or Vietnamese IT engineers developing platforms that provide up-to-date official information on the unfolding crisis.
And, you know, since we put out that story, there have been a lot of photos on Facebook and Instagram about healthcare workers, Vietnamese doctors and nurses, and they're like sleeping on the ground, exhausted. And, you know, for me, whether those photos are true or not, it is still, for me, newsworthy because we need to shout out all those healthcare workers that are on the front line.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I guess the one of the takeaways, Mel, is that humans just feed off gossip and innuendo.
And on that note, let's leave our news-hungry listeners with an apt warning with this hit from Fleetwood Mac. Fleetwood Mac, and was from their 14th studio album, Tango in the Night, released back in 1987.
Wow, 14th back in 1987. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. Well, that's it for our first episode of two, in which we take a look back at the stories that have made up Eurobytes from the past few weeks. Thank you for joining me, Mel, from a safe distance.
Thank you, thank you.
And thank you for listening in. Be sure to join me for the next episode when we bring you the other five remaining stories in the series. Until then, take care, wash your hands, and as my friend Samuel L. Jackson says,
stay the fuck at home.